Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to a very special edition of Sports Driven Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, well, how's it going?
Not much, man. Glad to be on this very special episode, which is our season premiere and also the anniversary show of this long-running franchise. Glad to have you on board as always.
Hey, glad to be on and glad to have been on this journey with you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad you guys are here as well on the season 14 premiere of Sports Urban Legend. And this is also the 13th anniversary show since we started the show on November 2nd, 2009. So, again, you know, I just want to thank you all, you, Mac, and all the listeners for, you know, tuning in to this show and keeping this show afloat. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you all for listening to the show over the years.
No doubt. And on today's show, you know, we'll talk a little bit about, this series. Also talk about the World Series, the WWE Crown Jewels event. Talk about the Knicks, the Nets, the Giants and Jets, and whatever is on our mind. You know, this is sports entertainment, everything else. So, we'd love to hear from you. So feel free to make your voices heard. So, with that said, let's lead off with the news about Kyrie Irving. You know, as you all know, he got suspended for five games because he posted a link to an anti-Semitic movie that was released on Amazon recently, and he claims that he's not anti-Semitic. He just saw the movie. He wanted to post it. And then, he later apologized. And now, people are checking to see if, his apology is sincere and, what's he going to do as a result of it. So, what's your thoughts on, Kyrie's situation?
Well, I thought he should have issued an apology when they had him, when the reporter asked him about posting that link last week. He had a chance to, but he didn't. So I think him not even coming forward and issuing an apology then led to this suspension. But, it's going to have consequences going forward for him. You're already seeing it right now with Nike spending their relationship with him. They were supposed to release one of his new shoes, and right now they're suspending that. And the Nets have suspended him for five games, and they're requiring him to take some sensitivity training and also meet with Jewish community leaders in Brooklyn before he can then come back to the team. So we'll see if he fulfills those requirements. But, this is going to hurt him in the long run. You know, this is not a good look for him. So it's an unfortunate situation, and he should have thought in advance, not to post something like that on social media with the following that he has, And I think a lot of celebrities, they don't think beforehand of the consequences before they post things on their social media accounts, and it leads to things like this, so it's unfortunate, but we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. Hopefully he'll learn from this from what he did.
Yeah.
But let's see, the Astros, right now they're what, two outs away from winning their second World Series in six years.
I know you're happy to see the Phillies lose, Will.
Well, it's not over yet. It's not official yet, so we shall see. I'd be ecstatic if it was the Mets and winning the World Series right now. I mean, I'm pleased so far, but nothing beats a Mets winning a World Series. I mean, it's only happened twice in the history of their franchise, and fortunately, I wasn't a fan. I was just a little kid when it happened. Oh, was that Realmuto just got a one out hit? The Phillies hopes, championship hopes alive. One on one out.
Harper's on deck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. The Phillies, they won the game one They lost the next two games, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, no, I think they won the first game. Astros tied it up the second game. Then I think Phillies went on a lead. And then what happened after that?
Astros won the next two games after
Astros
that.
Astros won the last
including
two,
including a no-hitter.
Including the no-hitter.
Combined hitter.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Harper looks like he flew out for the
one more out
for the second out, and I was joking, Harper, signed with him, and he was, in 2019, and he was saying that, when he signed with the Phillies, he said he wants to bring a championship back to the Washington, which he did, because once he left, they won the championship, but. Now say what you will about, that player, he got them to the World Series. So you can't really poo-poo that, that move anymore. 13 year deal. Obviously he's a, he's a very good player when healthy and, he got him wow. Castellanos, that's a long ball and it's made the catch, ball game over. The World Series is over. Astros win. The Astros win. And the Astros win their second championship in 6 years.
Yeah,
the Phillies are still stuck on two championships, even though they were created in 1883. I mean, they should have had their second championship in, 1886 or so? They finally won their first title in 1980, thanks to, Tug McGraw on the Mets with the You Gotta Believe, and they stole our catchphrase. And then in, 2008?
Eight, yeah.
They won their second title against the Tampa Bay Rays. And then, of course, they lost to the Yankees the following year, which ironically was also the Yankees, so far the Yankees' last championship as well. So, Dusty Baker...
I feel good for Dusty Baker that he won the title.
Yep.
But this Astros team, they're a talented team and they look unstoppable throughout the year, especially in that last series against the Yankees. They deserve it.
They do.
And this is like their redemption story for everyone calling them cheaters years ago.
Yep.
And
they ain't cheat this time.
Yeah.
And that we know.
So they've been a great team during these 2010s.
And Dusty Baker and Sports
Actually,
Illustrated.
Actually, we're in 2020s now, but
yeah. Sports Illustrated picked them in 2014 to win the championship in 2017, and they sure did it.
Yeah.
And as we're speaking right now, Dusty Baker, he's hugging Jose Altuve, who didn't have a great series. Which is uncharacteristically for him, but luckily for them, Jeremy Peña, that guy should be picked as the MVP. I mean, he's been great this whole series and
got
two hits at least this game. And they were showing the replay of the last out. Everybody was mobbing Dusty Baker. He's gonna have to check his pockets after this, because everybody was all up on him.
He fell short.
Yeah, he always fell short. He always fell short. He was the Andy Reid of baseball. Both Hall of Fame managers who, they always go to the finals or Super Bowl in Reid's case, but they can never win the big one. But now, and then obviously Reid won it a few years ago with Kansas City. And now Dusty Baker finally has his shot. The closest he's ever been to probably prior to this was when they blew that, what was it, 5-0 lead? The Giants, the 5-0 lead in that game against the Angels. But, now it's Dusty
and
Baker's
Cubs.
Time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he went to the playoffs with a bunch of teams. He went with the Giants. I think Nationals as well, Cubs. I mean, he's he You know, he's, and of course as a player, you know, he won a title, you know, with the Dodgers against the Yankees. You know, when Tommy Lasorda finally got, you know, that monkey off his back of not winning a title. You know, especially against the Yankees when the Yankees beat them in 77, 78, and then he finally won that that last one. Kind of reminiscent of the Rock and Austin rivalry. You know, Stone Cold beat him WrestleMania 15, 17 by cheating, by selling his soul to Vince McMahon to get that win in home in Houston, ironically, you know, in Texas. And then, of course, The Rock finally got his revenge in WrestleMania 19. So in that case, you know, congratulations to the Astros. You know, well-deserved win. Hate the Phillies, but you know they have nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, other than the no hitter, which they became the second team in history to get no hit in the World Series. Obviously, the Yankees, Don Larsen threw the perfect game against the Brooklyn Dodgers, which was Jackie Robinson's last year in the big leagues. And then, of course, a few days ago, Game 4. The Astros had, what, a four-pitcher no-hitter, which is the first combined no-hitter in World Series history. So congrats to the Astros. That was definitely the turning point of this whole series, throwing that no-hitter. And then, you know, Schwarber, you know, after the game was saying he don't give a S about the game, which, I mean, was a very brutally honest assessment, a shocking one, because you know you would have thought you know a player would have been you know distraught about it, but he was honest. He didn't really care. You know, he didn't feel the series was over at that time. And you know, to his credit, you know, he's hit some bombs. You know, he hit one today to give the Astros a brief 1-0 lead. But yeah, man, it was a very a classic series. You know, with the Astros and then the Phillies. Phillies wasn't even supposed to be here, but with this new rule, you know, they came in as that third wild card. You know, they were literally the wild card team. You know, the Padres, you know, they had their run. They upsetted my Mets, unfortunately. The Phillies, they beat the Braves, the Cardinals, the Padres. They really earned it. And then, you know, say what you will, you know, after they fired Girardi, which, you know, hey, I was wrong. I admit, I thought them firing Girardi, even though, you know, he wore out his welcome in Philly, you know, I thought that would have been a step back, but that was what they needed. They needed a new voice. Rob Thompson, and, you know, they rightfully so, he got the extension. And, you know, they went to the World Series. They were that Cinderella story. But it's Dusty Baker who got the golden, the what was it, the shiny slippers. Whatever color it is, slipper, the shiny clear slippers, you know. And, you know, he's a champion now.
Yeah, again, congrats to Dusty mm-hmm. Baker. You know, he deserves it. The Astros deserved it. The city of Houston deserves it. You know, he had a great year and a great way to cap off the season by winning the championship. So, you know, congrats to you guys.
Yeah, congrats to the Astros, you know. And I don't know if you heard, but yesterday it wasn't yesterday. It was game 5, after they lost, there was a bunch of women, Philly fan ladies, were fighting in the women's bathroom. I mean,
typical Philly trash.
Well, I don't know what the fighting was about, but I assume they weren't happy about the loss. I mean, but I mean, hey, what can you say, man? There's nothing really to say about that, you know. But, yes, I mean, hey, what can we say? If the Phillies won, they would have rioted in the streets anyway, most likely, anyway. So.
Yep.
But, Yeah, I mean, the Phillies, they had a great year. Much to my chagrin.
Yeah,
but
Phillies shouldn't hold their head down because they had a – no one expected them to make it this far after firing Joe Girardi. And, you know, they had a Cinderella season in the second half of the year, made it to the postseason, and made it to the World Series. So big things to come next year, hopefully, for the
Speak for yourself. Hopefully not. But they're a tough team, man. I've been saying for years that the National League East is a tough division, and it's proof. We're living proof, man. Every team in the NL East, except for the team that deserves it the most, have won in recent history. You know, you got the Braves in 95 and what was it? I'm trying to remember the year. Last year, obviously, won it all. You got the Phillies. They went to the World Series, obviously, this year and lost, but they won in 2008. You had the Nationals finally win a championship, something that the Expos never had a chance to do in 2019. The Marlins, of course, you know, they won in 97 and 2003. But then the Mets, you know, unfortunately, the Mets, you know, other than 69, you know, 86 is the only time they won it, you know. So, I mean, the Mets, you know, they got their work cut out for them. They got to re-sign DeGrom. They got to re-sign Diaz and Bassett and I'm trying to remember who else. Nimmo. Yeah, they got a lot of stuff that they need to do. They need to take care of. Mark Canha was saying that, you know, he loved his time, his first year in the Mets, and apparently DeGrom told them that he wants to come back to the Mets. But, you know, we shall see. Hopefully the Mets and DeGrom can agree on a deal that they can both live with, and they could hopefully have DeGrom, you know, DeGrom retire as a Met whenever time he sees, you know, he feels he's ready to you know, hang up his cleats. So, we shall see what's going to happen with that. Obviously, Diaz, you know, you have to re-sign him, given the highest pay, you know, contract for a closer in history. And we shall see if they'll re-sign Nimmo, who, I mean, he exemplifies what a Met player is. You know, hard, you know, a tough, you know, hardworking dude, plays the game the right way. You know, hopefully they can give him a deal that he agrees with as well. So we, you know, big moves the Mets have to make, because, like I said, I've been saying that for years. Mets are in the toughest division, you know, in baseball, and, you know, it proves it. The Braves, 2 years in a row, overtook the Mets, and Mets choked the division twice. There's no sugarcoating way of saying it. The Mets choked both years in a row. And then, of course, you know, Braves have had a stranglehold on that division for almost 30 years, on and off for 30 years, ever since they moved from the NL West to the National League East. So, yeah, what, 92 or so, ever since they moved in 92? Because I think they won the NL West in, what, 91, their last year. But, yeah, man, that team is Braves is tough. Phillies, the Fighting Phils. Always a tough team, even if they're a last place team, they always play tough against the Mets. Same thing with the Marlins and the Nationals. So Mets always have their work cut out for them. So we shall see what the Mets will do in the future. And on the Yankees side, the Yankees, you know, made it official. Aaron Boone is going to be back. You know, he blames the injuries for the reason why the Yankees, you know, didn't win the World Series this year. And, you know, basically the Yankees are going to run it back. They're going to have Cashman and you know, Boone come back. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, as I mentioned, it was either last week or the week before that, we knew that Aaron Boone was going to come back after the Yankees organization indicated that they had no, you know, they didn't plan on firing or letting Aaron Boone go. Right now, you have to focus on bringing back Judge. That's the main priority this offseason. Bring back Judge and then try to put the pieces together. You know, you got to get a healthy LeMahieu back. You got to get a healthy Benintendi back. Hopefully you can get some more contact hitters. You got to let some of these guys go, like Aaron Hicks, who's always injured, hasn't produced much. He's been inconsistent the last several seasons. You got to let what's his name go? The former Texas Ranger MVP, what's his name again? I'm forgetting his name now.
Who, Gallo?
No, not Gallo. Gallo's not with the team anymore.
No, I know that. Gallo's with the Dodgers.
Yeah, no, I'm he's a current Yankee. I'm forgetting his name. Power hitter. Used to be a former MVP with the Rangers. I'm forgetting his name. Why am I forgetting his name?
What position does he play?
Infield, third base.
Donaldson.
Donaldson, there you go. Josh Donaldson. Yeah, you have to part ways with him.
I think
you need some more contact hitters in the lineup. We got too many power hitters right now. We showed how vulnerable we were in that Astros series where we had so many power hitters. We were just looking for home runs every time. So we need more contact hitters like Benintendi and LeMahieu in the lineup. And that's the big that's what the Yankees have to do this offseason. Sign Judge, get some contact hitters, and also improve the bullpen, because there's a lot of injuries to the bullpen this year. We need some more bullpen guys to help, and a closer. It doesn't look like Chapman will be our closer going forward. So we need if it means stealing your closer away from you guys, might have to do that as well. So be it. You're laughing, but the Yankees might actually do it.
Hey, I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. You guys will take our players. You take Strawberry, Gooden, Cone. I mean,
likewise. Likewise.
Yeah, but we take them when they're aging. You know?
Same here.
Yogi Berra. Well, I mean, the only person we took from you guys that was you know, still productive and good would be Granderson.
Yeah, you guys have had your share of Yankee plays too.
No, but I'm saying a guy who wasn't over the hill when we took him.
Yeah, a lot of the best plays we get are aging as well. We've had Benitez. We've had Ventura. Guys.
Yeah, I still didn't like that trade.
Past their prime, you know, but it is what it is. But I mean, a guy like Diaz, who's still in his prime right now, that would be a big signing for us if we could steal him from the Mets. Because I know you guys are going to try to steal the Judge this offseason. So
I doubt it, but,
you know,
I mean, it's a possibility.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of teams are going to be after him this offseason. So we'll see who gets him. Hopefully it's the Yankees.
I think the Yankees will re-sign him.
You know, I hear the Giants, they said they're going to spend some money. They're going to try to outbid any team for Judge. You hear the Dodgers already. So these teams are not playing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. We'll see if Uncle Stevie pulls the money out of his pocket.
That's
makes
okay.
a bid for Judge.
Because he really needs to spend the money because the World Series, it looks like it's going to come through, you know, the NL East or obviously the Astros, who just won it now. And congratulations to, you know, your favorite player, Jeremy Pena, for, you know, winning the MVP. So congrats to him.
Yeah. He's going to go home and get that Dominican food now.
Well, he
deserved that Dominican dish.
And he deserved the MVP trophy right there because he earned it, rookie, replacing – oh, wait, my thing – hold on, it came up.
Did you know that this was the first World Series played without any black players, American-born black players?
Technically, African-American players. I mean, there are some, you know, Hispanic.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about African-American players. There was no American-born African-American players in this World Series for the first time.
Yeah, even Dusty Baker said that he's ashamed of baseball, Major League Baseball, for that. And he said you could quote him on that.
I mean, baseball for the last 50-plus years has been Latin player-based, you know? No longer white and black players. It's been Latin player, and you have a lot of Dominican players. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of Dominican players that are in baseball right now.
Ortiz, Ortiz is retired now, but no.
Yeah, I mean, in the Dominican Republic, that's all they know. Mm. You know, baseball is a big, it's a way of life over there. You know, you have kids that grow up poor, and they, you know, what they do to stay active is play baseball when they're younger.
Yeah,
and they grow up to prospects and big-time players, so.
Yeah. And with the money they get, they can go back and give back to their country and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Help the economy. So, you know, props to him. Is Pena Dominican?
He is. He's from Santo Domingo.
Oh, okay. Hey, you never know. He might be a future Yankee if he hits free agency.
Maybe. We'll see. If he continues to play good, we shall see.
We shall see. And, you know, shifting gears, you know, speaking of the prospects, you know, the Knicks, you know, they were playing at home against the Celtics. And, you know, even though Celtics have that controversy with their head coach, Udoka, possibly, you know, who's suspended, possibly going to be managed by the Nets, they managed to whoop the Knicks behind. What was it? The final score was like 132 to let me see the score. Yeah, they scored 27 threes on us. I'm trying to see what the final score was. Might have been, let's see, what was that? Can't even see it. But we got our butts handed to us. But the good thing about it was, you know, we had good games from Randle. I think Randle scored like 29 points. RJ Barrett scored like 27 points.
Yeah, we had three guys that scored over 20 points, and we still lost.
I know, exactly. We had our best performance, and we still lost. Still lost that game, man. I mean, it's messed up. Brunson, I think, had a double-double, too. I think he went, so, yeah, we had our best performance, except defensively. We were horrible. Yeah, we lost the final score. 133-118.
Yeah, I mean, they let Tatum and Brown go off.
Yeah, man.
They for almost 60 points.
They didn't even need Jalen Brown or Tatum to score on us, man. They could have had Channing Tatum and Charlie Brown, you know, playing against us.
Yeah.
At this rate, how they whooped us. Jalen Brown had 30 points. Tatum had 26 points. And
yeah,
Marcus,
their defense has not been good.
And they made Marcus Smart look like a genius, you know, scoring 13 points and, you know, with the, you know, 11 assists. But
how long right now it's looking like Thibodeau, his job might be on the line right now. Because if they don't win this year, if they don't go to the playoffs this year, he might be out.
Mm-hmm. And Isaiah Hartenstein, you know, he had his best game as a Nick, you know, getting the start because Mitchell Robinson is injured again. Stop me if you haven't heard that before, you know, over the years. Yeah, he had 10 points and 14 rebounds. But, yeah, Toppin had a quiet game, seven points after he had a 17-point game the previous game against the 76ers. I think it was last night, if I'm not mistaken. And the Knicks, you know, Knicks and Cameron had a great game. That game, what's his name? I'm trying to remember. Toppin scored 17 points in that game. Knocked down a bunch of threes in that game. Maybe 13 of his 17 points was in the fourth, I think, if my memory serves me right. But, yeah, today was, you know, the Knicks had, you know, had their best game of the year. You know, you had 10 points from Derrick Rose. But in front of the Garden crowd, you know, for the past 20 years, plus 20 years, you know, the Knicks fans go home, you know, sad with a loss, you know. And what can you do, man? This looks like that's another season, another lost season for the Knicks in their 50th anniversary of their last title.
Yeah, unfortunately. Inconsistency.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one more thing about baseball. Did you hear what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. said?
What did he say?
He said, play in New York. I like to kill the Yankees. I would never sign with the Yankees, not even dead.
That's what they all say. Until money talks, right?
So if Guerrero's a free agent, would you still pursue him after what he said?
Of course, because these players, they say that, and then when you wave millions of dollars in front of them, they have no choice but to sign.
We shall see in a few years.
But you know, but I doubt he'll sign with the Yankees. But you know, you never know.
You never know.
You never know.
I remember telling you in Brooklyn College, like back in the days. This was like was 2000. This might be 2001 or so. And I was telling you that you guys are probably gonna sign after you sign Giambi. No, this would have to be the off season before the 2002 season. That you guys are probably gonna sign Randy Johnson because you know they had this game video game with Triple Play, I think Triple Play 2003 or something like that. I can't remember. And then they showed like a fake scenario, like you know, Jason Giambi just signed with the Yankees, and that like in a few years later that you know, Randy Johnson would sign with the Yankees. And of course, sure enough, that did happen in what, 2004, 2005. So
yeah.
Anything with the Yankees, anything
that.
Is possible.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. So I wouldn't be surprised.
And I'm looking at a guy who could be a potential future Yankee right now, Justin Verlander, finally getting
Verlander is about to retire, man.
Yeah, he might. He has 16 wins in the postseason, second most behind a guy who's great in the postseason with 19 wins. You know who that guy is?
Mariano Rivera?
Wins.
Oh, wins.
Who think team wins in the postseason?
19 most, wins.
Most all time.
Most all time. Wow. Man, I can't even think.
Take a lucky guess.
Colfax?
Nope. I'll give you one more guess, and then that's it.
It's a Yankee, right?
Could be.
I should know this. I can't think right now. I give up. Who is it?
Andy Pettit.
Oh, yeah, that was my next guess. Yeah, Andy Pettit. But 19 wins, I didn't think Pettit had that many. Wow.
I'm not surprised at all.
Wow. Then again, yeah, he was with the Astros as well. I forget, too.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
So Verlander, even though he just got his first World Series win a few days ago, yeah, he has 16 postseason wins. So congrats to the Astros. They won their first – they won at home in front of their fans. And we'll, now the free agency shall begin in a few days. Yeah, man. Props to them. Jordan Alvarez had the big home run, three-run home run, and the rest is history. But, yeah, let's shift gears to the Nets. You know, we spoke about them briefly, about their drama. But, yeah, they won today. They won, what, back-to-back games. So far, Durant has, he won both games, you know, since the suspension. The Nets had to come back against the Charlotte Hornets. Durant scored 27 points. You know, they overcame, a double-digit deficit. And, yeah, they had like at least 11-point lead. But Durant was able to propel them to the victory. You know, so. And then the next game.
The Nets are in turmoil right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're off to a dismal start.
Mm-hmm.
Their superstar guard right now has been suspended. And he's been in his Kyrie has been, for the last year, he's been in some type of controversy, whether it's been that COVID situation where he didn't want to play, and now this anti-Semitic post. I mean, yeah, Nets have issues right now. I mean, they make the Knicks look like starlets. But now you have this Nash firing also. I mean, I don't know what else to say about the Nets. You know, Nets are almost a bigger joke as the Knicks these days.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. They better hope they can extend their winning streak when they go to Dallas on Monday night. And speaking of Monday night, basically, everything's going to be status quo starting Monday Night Raw because the Crown Jewel event went down earlier today. And, yeah, here's what happened. They prize everybody having the Brock Lesnar Bobby Lashley fight lead off the show. You were right. Brock Lesnar defeated Bobby Lashley. I felt that way too, but I was like, hey, man, WWE, you know, should do the right thing. But it looks like this rivalry is going to continue, so.
Yeah, I mean, I knew there was no way they were going to have Lashley beat him again. You know, they wanted to make Brock look good by getting revenge by beating him this time around.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was a good call. But, yeah.
You had Damage Control. Damage Control defeat Alexa Bliss and Asuka to gain the title. And Drew McIntyre defeated Karrion Kross in the steel cage match. Judgment Day defeated the OC. Braun Strowman defeated Omos, as we all assumed, since Braun Strowman is back. The Usos defeated the Brawling Brutes to retain the tag team, the undisputed WWE tag team titles. And that most likely is going to mean that the Usos will be battling the New Day yet again, because the New Day and the Brawling Brutes jumped the Usos on Friday Night SmackDown last night. Bianca Belair defeated Bayley, which is, there's no surprise there, to retain the Raw Women's Championship in a Last Woman Standing match. And last but not least, Roman Reigns defeated Logan Paul to retain the undisputed WWE Universal Championship.
Shocker.
I know. It's basically been status quo. Other than Damage Control winning the titles, I mean, everything was basically the same. And, you know, what I'm looking forward to is the War Games, the upcoming War Games match at Survivor Series coming up. And even bigger news, there's no more annual WrestleMania. I mean, not WrestleMania. that would be a huge move. That would be a huge news if that really happened. That would be bad news. But the Hell in the Cell match, it's not going to be annual anymore, which I thought was that's a brilliant idea, you know. I mean, the rest, you know, Hell in the Cell match, you know, growing up back in the days was always my favorite match because, you know, it was just the end-all, be-all way to end feuds. You know, that's the most devastating match to be in. But WWE, like I've been saying on this show for, like, what, 13 years or so, that they've been milking it. Like, you know, you can't have a feud with a match that's an annual match. It's like, you know, you messed with me with the last time. Well, guess what? At the Hell in the Cell preview event, I want to face you one-on-one for, wait for it, 20-second delay, a Hell in the Cell match. Oh, my God, I can't believe he's going to fight him in the Hell in the Cell, in the Hell in the Cell preview event. It's like, no duh. Like, what else are you gonna, what match are you supposed to pick? A chairs match? You know what I mean? Like, there's only a few matches that should have stipulation events. Royal Rumble, King of the Ring, Survivor Series. That's it. You know what I mean? Like, Money in the Bank. That's it. Like, other than that, oh, you know what I mean? You're kind of pigeonholing and handicapping yourself into type of matches you can have. You know what I mean? Like, you should have, you know what I mean? There has to be a diversity of the matches so that they could be meaningful and rare. You know what I mean? So, like, having a Hell in the Cell and an Elimination Chamber match all the time is like, you know, it's just going to water it down. It's not going to have that same impact as you would normally have when it's a significant rare match. What do you think about this?
Man. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you. I got nothing else to say. I just agree with you. No, I agree with you. I don't disagree. I agree.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's nothing really else more to say about that. Like, it's pretty self-explanatory that they should you know, they should make it mean something again.
Yeah. But you don't like that WrestleMania is like two nights. Well, it's two nights now going forward,
yeah, it
right?
Yeah, two nights. I don't like it.
You don't like
that
idea? That idea of it being two nights now, I like that.
It grew on you.
It has grown on me during the pandemic, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they should have had that years ago, I think, the two-night thing. Because the thing about it, WrestleMania is supposed to be like this big, the biggest event of the year. And to have it both nights, yeah, that's the perfect idea, you know? They should have, they should have did that going back to WrestleMania 2 at least, you know, is what I think.
Yeah, WrestleMania 2 should have had that. you know.
Yeah.
In fairness, because they had it like in two different spots going on at the same time. Like it didn't that. What was it? Three different spots? Wasn't it like?
I think
Long
so. It could have been in three
Chicago,
different locations, something
in
like
LA,
that.
LA, I think.
I think so.
Something like that. Like. Yeah, that didn't make any sense to have a bunch of WrestleMania stuff, and you can't even see all the WrestleMania stuff at the same time. Like,
yeah, that don't make no sense.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
But to me, during the pandemic, okay, we could give them a pass, but I don't think it should be a regular thing that they have a two-night WrestleMania. They should have lesser matches and not make it go 8 hours long. You know what I mean? Just have lesser matches, make, you know.
I think it should be three nights per night. From 8
three
to 11.
Nights?
From 8, 3 hours, sorry.
Oh, three hours
per night, sorry.
Oh, I'm about to say, if you said
6 hours
nights,
total.
Well,
yeah.
At this rate, they might do it 3 nights. If they could make it 2 nights, they might make it 3.
No, the Saturday and Sunday is just fine, you know. And actually,
but,
you know, I don't mind them having the Saturday. I'm kind of getting used to the Saturday pay-per-views rather than Sunday.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you. Surprisingly, yeah, I do agree with you on the Saturday, because it's like you're watching the event and then you got to, like, rush to go to sleep to go to work the next day. The Saturday night, actually, the Saturday night thing is actually a great idea. I'd have to agree with you on that one. I don't know if you heard, but there's a former guy from WWE that's in AEW now. Did you hear who it is?
Former guy from WWE's in AEW.
I'll give you a clue. He's a recent WWE Hall of Famer, so that will make you that'll narrow the choices.
Well, I heard about Jeff Jarrett. If that's what you're talking about.
Yep.
Oh yeah, yeah, that I heard about. Yeah, I've heard about that. He's gonna be like a consultant or something backstage. He's got some kind of backstage role or something like that.
Yeah, but he made his impact. He made his impact even though he's in AEW by hitting Darby Allin with, you know, his signature guitar over the head on Dynamite. So, yeah, here's what happened on Dynamite. Jay Lethal defeated – yeah, this happened, like, after the match. Jay Lethal defeated Darby Allin. John Moxley defeated Lee Moriarty in a world title eliminator match. Chris Jericho retained his ROH championship against Colt Cabana. Jay Cargill defeated Marina Shafir to retain the TBS title. Samoa Joe defeated Brian Cage to retain the ROH title. And this upcoming week, Soraya, formerly known as Paige in WWE, she's going to announce that she is medically cleared because, you know, they've been teasing a feud with her and Britt Baker, Dr. Britt Baker. And Swerve Strickland attacked the Acclaim. And, he previously attacked Billy Gunn with pliers. After that event, FTR, that segment, FTR, came to the aid of the Acclaim when the Firm, Strickland was attacking the Acclaim. But what else? I'm trying to remember what else happened that day. Yeah, I guess that's all the major stuff that happened. But then, You know, they had the Rampage on Friday night. Orange Cassidy defeated Katsuri Shibata to retain the All Atlantic Championship. Dr. Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter, they defeated Madison Rain and Sky Blue in a tag team match. And what was I gonna say? Warjo defeated which is, you know, Wardlow and Samoa Joe's tag team. They defeated Gates of Agony. And I don't know if you know, Iron Mike Tyson he popped up for, you know, commentary on the show that on Friday night.
Oh, wow.
And Blackpool Club won. Chris Jericho, you know, because he, you know, the whatchamacallit, this Jericho is going to be defending his ROH title at the upcoming pay-per-view event, Full Gear. Jericho is going to be defending his title against his Inner Circle, former Inner Circle and current Jericho Society, Appreciation Society member, Sammy Guevara. And he's also going to be defending the title against Claudio Cazagnoli, formerly known as Cesaro, and Bryan Danielson to try to regain the title. And you know, Ricky Starks claims that he's gonna be part of a tournament that determines the number one contender for the AEW title. And yeah, that's basically the major stuff that's going on in in wrestling, really. You know, the Jets. Moving on to football, the Jets are going to be hosting the Buffalo Bills. This is going to be a tough matchup against the Buffalo Bills. The Jets are going to try to bounce back from that tough loss against the New England Patriots, where like we spoke about it last week, Sanchez really shot the Jets in the foot with his three costly interceptions. To negate the two touchdowns that he threw that game. And, you know, this is the game he definitely is going to have to try to bounce back, you know. What's your thoughts on this upcoming game tomorrow afternoon?
Well, that's going to be a tough test for the Jets because the Bills are on fire right now. Bills are looking like the best team in the AFC right now. You know, offensively, they're unstoppable. Defensively, they're right in the middle. But yeah, they're looking like they're Super Bowl bound. And 6-1, Jets are gonna have to. It's gonna be a tough battle for the Jets. You know, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we shall see. Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully Wilson will be able to, you know, wake up out of it and rise up to the challenge of this upcoming matchup.
Yeah.
But he definitely needs a redemption game right here. And then the Giants, you have the off week, the bye week, this week. And then you guys are gonna try to bounce back from that 27-13 loss against Geno Smith, and now you're gonna, you know, on the 13th you're gonna be facing the Texans.
Yeah. Just use Giants. Got to use this bye week to rest up, forget about the last loss, and look forward to the Texans next week. So far, so good. You know, we're 6-2. So I couldn't ask for anything better. So good start to the season so far for the Giants, I'd say.
Absolutely. Well, like we said earlier, this is the anniversary show. You know, been doing this show for what, 13 years or so? So, what was I gonna say? What's the toughest sports loss that you've experienced for any of your teams?
The toughest sports loss?
Yeah, during this time, during, you know, since 2009, since we've been doing this show.
Wow. Toughest sports loss. Man. I mean, in 2017, I'd say, you know, we were one game from going to the World Series, game beat by the Astros. That was pretty tough. I thought that year for sure we had in the bag to go to the World Series, but we just fell short. And that team wasn't even expected to go that far into the postseason, but yet we did. So I guess, right, that Game 7 loss to the Astros, 2017, that was probably the toughest.
Yeah, that's a great answer for sure. Because that 2017 only, you know, Sports Illustrated predicted it 4 years in advance. I mean, 3 years in advance. But yeah, the you know, the Yankees, man, they, you know, I mean, who would have thought a team could have dominated the Yankees, you know? But the Astros, you know, they definitely, as evident as Saturday night, the Astros, you know, they're proving that they're, you know, they're a team to be reckoned with. You know, it's not a fluke. They didn't cheat. I mean, they really whooped, you know, all the teams that they faced. But I say for me, what do you think has been the toughest loss? Loss for me.
I mean, you've had a lot of them, but
I know. That's what I'm asking you. That's what I'm asking you. Which one do you think? Because I, you know, I've seen
probably
a lot of tough
losses.
I'm just talking about from 2019 on. We're not even going back.
I mean, this year, that loss to the Padres was pretty bad. That was tough. You guys won 100 plus games. And you failed to win your division, and you lost to the Padres in the wild card round. I'd say that's probably the toughest loss.
You know what? You're probably right. I mean, I was thinking of 2015. You know, we got so far, and then, you know, we lost to the Royals. You know, the Royals outmatched the Mets that series, and you know, that was the closest we've gotten to a championship. You know. Since 2000, you know, and we lost it. So I was gonna say that, but having us lose this early is so un-Mets like, and winning 101 games, which, you know, I didn't even realize I've never seen a Met team, you know, win 100 games before until we finally did it, and now it's, you know, it amounted to nothing. So yeah, this would have to be the worst postseason team the Mets ever had. Like, it's either that or the 2016 team when they had that wild card game, and you know they. But then again, you know, they won the wild card that year, even though they didn't win a game. You know, Madison Bumgarner is one of the best postseason pitchers of all time. So I mean, they couldn't really hang their head. I mean, other than, you know, that was like the first time the Mets ever got knocked out, you know, without winning a game in any postseason, you know. This is like kind of reminiscent of the 88 series when the Dodgers, you know, when the Mets was beating up on the Dodgers that year. You know, David Cohn apparently gave them both bulletin board material you know, talking smack on the Dodgers, you know, the Mets beating them 10 out of 11 games or so that year. And, you know, the rest is history. The Dodgers upset the Mets and, you know, won the World Series that year against the Oakland A's. This probably is the worst team. We had 101 wins, and we lost in a series that we had no business being in because we should have won the division against the Braves. I mean, against the Braves and everybody. We lost before we should have been in the NLDS to start the season. We got our butts whooped before the season even happened. And then, not to mention Game 3, you know, we got one hit. I mean, only the Phillies played worse, you know, in that Game 4 of the World Series. But, yeah, man, it's a tough pill to swallow. I mean, this is probably the toughest team because, I mean, no one expected us to go to the World Series in 2015. And, we surprised everybody. But, unfortunately, we just couldn't get it done because that Royals team, man, they were just – that was their year, man. What can I say? So yeah, this year's team would have to be the worst one. You know, Scherzer getting his butt whooped at Game 1. You know, yeah. I mean, this would be the worst postseason team the Mets had. Yeah, man, that's it. You convinced me. Yeah, man. Okay, what's the greatest moment that you had during the show? I don't know if you could count the 09 Yankees, since the 09 Yankees was like 2 weeks before the show started. So I'll have to think about whether or not that'll count.
I think it was 2011 Giants, New York Giants winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I had a feeling that would be the second.
Being
hey,
the Patriots,
that would be the other one.
You know, so yeah. That was definitely the greatest moment.
Mm-hmm. If the Yankees didn't count, of course, which technically they didn't, you know, the Yankees was 2 weeks before, even though it's the same year. So technically it could have counted, you know. But if Yankees counted, it would have been the Yankees. For you,
yeah, definitely. But I think that Giants run in 2011 was pretty special, you know. They weren't expected to go that far, and they did end up getting hot at the right time near the end of the season, and to beat the Patriots again in 4 years, that was nice to see.
Oh yeah, no doubt about that.
What about you?
Wow. It's tough. I guess it would have to be, I mean, greatest moments. It probably would be either the Mets sweeping the Cubs on the day that Back to the Future 2 predicted that the Cubs would win the World Series. Or the Mets throwing some no-hitters, you know, which was Johan Santana throwing that no-hitter June 1st, 2012. And then this year, you know, the Mets combined for, you know, a six-person Hey, what's up? Sound like you're back here as well, Mac?
Yep, I'm back.
All right, sorry.
I'm not sure what happened there.
Technical difficulties. I don't know why the thing got cut off. You know, I guess that maybe the positive didn't want me to be happy. Well, let me talk about all the good handful of good moments I've had you know, sports-wise. But, yeah, the second no-hitter was also a great defining moment, you know, for the Mets, you know. Second ever no-hitter. But, yeah, this – yeah, on basically almost a 10-year anniversary also. So, yeah, those would be the three biggest moments that I've seen as a fan. The Knicks didn't give me nothing, you know, other than, you know, them sweep, knocking off the Celtics that year, 2013. That's about it. That's about all they gave me, good things that the Knicks have given me in the past 20-plus years. You'd agree with that.
Yeah, I agree.
Jets, I mean, nothing really. I can't really say anything, really. And, you know, the Rangers, they went to the Stanley Cup a few times, and obviously they lost on my birthday in June. But, yeah, other than that, yeah, I can't really – those are the big moments. It would have to be the Mets defeating the Cubs, sweeping the Cubs, first time ever facing, you know, that historic franchise. You know, you had to battle the two lovable losers, you know, battling it out. And, you know, Mets, you know, because their pitching was able to, you know, shut them down and advance to the World Series, which unfortunately ended in typical Mets fashion post 1986. So, yeah, that would be it. And then, of course, the two no-hitters. But, yeah, so, okay, so what team of yours do you think will win the World Series?
Yankees.
I mean, not the World Series, I mean a championship.
Yankees.
Right.
I mean, that's by far. I think Yankees will be the next team of my team to win the championship.
Mm-hmm. And what about for me? What do you think will be the first
team? You're probably going to say Mets, most likely.
Yes. What do you think?
You're going to say Mets.
No, okay, yes, for me. But out of your opinion, out of the teams I root for, who do you think would be the first team?
Probably the Mets. Yeah, probably the Mets. The Knicks, I don't know, man.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks, I don't know.
Yeah, man, we're starting to see that Knicks championship, man. But, yeah, speaking of the Knicks, if the Knicks, by some miracle, finally wins a championship, do you think you'd actually have tears of joy?
I probably would. I mean, I cried when younger. I cried when I was younger when they lost and won. As an adult, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much never.
Jaded, like we're used to it.
But yeah, I mean, if they finally win a championship after so many years, I'd shed a tear.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think Mets and Knicks would be the only two teams that I root for that I'd actually shed a tear for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If Jets and Rangers win, I'd be happy, you know. But Knicks or Mets winning, oh man, they don't even have to give me an Oscar because I won't even know how to act if that even happens, man. Like, I'm speechless right now, even thinking about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, yeah, man, Mets seem like the most likely opportunity that, you know, that out of my team that's going to win a title. I mean, yeah, you know, Rangers almost won this year also, but, I mean, that's my least favorite team out of the teams I root for. But, yeah, if the Mets or the Knicks win a title, oh, man, that's a wrap, man. You're going to have a special, special episode. On this show, man. So,
yeah.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, you know, is there any anything else you'd like to say before we, you know, we head out?
Thank you guys for listening to this special show, special anniversary show. Don't forget to turn back your clocks for daylight savings and come back and check out Sports of Religion every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
All right, man. Thank you so much, Mac, as always, being on the show, helping me hold it down. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I want to thank you again for supporting the show for the past 13 years. This is the season 14th episode, you know, because, you know, we're like the NBA season. We start in the fall and we ended in the fall too. But, I mean, you know, we start 1 year and we ended the next year. So, you know, just want to thank you guys for the support all these years. And hopefully we can see some more titles come to New York for our favorite teams. And hopefully keep giving you some great episodes, man. And, you know, again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for all the support all the years. And, you know, again, couldn't do it without you guys and ladies. So, again, he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Rameau, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.